Thank you so much, Mike. Yeah, I'm actually coming through the speakers this morning. If you were here last week, you know that I had the thing all disconnected and all that. We're so glad that you're here. And I don't know about you, but Mike said, you know, how you feel this morning. I feel blessed, and I am anticipating that there's going to be a movement of God among us this morning. I want you to anticipate that also. God is doing a good work in your life. If you're here and you're still trying to understand what it means to be a follower of Jesus, you need to know that the reason you're here is he's tugging in your heart. You might think that you're seeking him right now, but God is seeking you. He loves you so very much. And if there's one thing you get this morning before you leave, is that you are loved by God. And he's doing everything to woo you to himself. A couple of things I do want to mention. I just want to echo what Mike was saying regarding the mission trip. We have to make decisions quickly in terms of whether or not we're even doing this trip. And I know it seems like a far way out there, June, but we need to make the decision. We need to have a team together. So if you are being tugged, I can tell you as one who has done several trips to different parts of the world, it changes you forever for the good. It helps you to see in your local community the beauty of telling people this good news of Jesus. It helps you to recognize how blessed we are materially and that how much more God wants to do in us when we see the faith of those who have less but love the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you are on the journey with us where you're seeing God changing you, this would be a great catalyst in your life. So sign up today if you can do that. Did want to mention, as many of you are aware, that today is Sanctity of Life Sunday. It was in Psalm 119 that David wrote these beautiful words. And I meditate on these words actually every single week. You created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Did you know that you are fearfully and wonderfully made? From the moment of your conception, God created you to know him. And today, again, is Sanctity of Human Life Sunday. It was in 1983 that President Reagan instituted this. And it's honored on the Sunday closest to the Roe versus Wade and Doe versus Bolton decisions that was handed down by the Supreme Court in 1973 on January 22nd. But it's hard to believe that we're just over a year since that was overthrown by the Dobbs decision. And those of us who have spent decades, speaking up for life, have at times found ourselves in amazement that on June 24th of 22, it actually happened. We've celebrated this decision, and we've made great strides in the stance for life in our country. But, you know, the battle isn't over. It's more than simply passing legislation that protects the unborn. According to a Gallup poll in 2023 in May, the Americans' views on abortions have almost half of U.S. adults favoring the expansion of abortion rights, making them legal in all or most cases. And so we need to continue to actively share this gospel message that every life is precious to God. From the womb to the tomb, every life is precious to God. We are created in the image of God. I know this has become a very political issue, but this is an issue that Christians need to understand. It's an issue of life. And so in the meantime, we give thanks to the Lord for the many Christian pregnancy resource centers around the country. We thank the Lord especially for the blessing of our partnership with New Path Pregnancy Resource Center here in Marysville and in Bellefontaine and in Richwood. New Path Pregnancy Resource Centers has a very dedicated team of volunteers. I know some of you volunteer with them and support them, and we as a church support them. They're committed to sharing God's love and accurate information and support to young women and men regarding decisions about pregnancy and sexual integrity and parenting and post-abortion recovery and loving people right where they are. And we give God thanks for them. We are grateful again for the privilege of partnership that we grow together. Today, if you're here, we believe that God wants to do a movement in your life to hopefully catalyze growth that he's doing in you. If you've set your New Year's resolutions, hopefully the things that we're saying to you these past few Sundays will help you to firm those up so that they don't just get lost. I know some of you who have the habit of getting into the gym, you're just kind of waiting it out. Hang in there. One more month, it's going to thin out. You'll get back to doing your regular reps. You know how that is. And so what we've been talking about over the last few weeks is building a new you, and not just a New Year's resolution. I know many of you stopped doing that because, you know, hey, I started, stopped, it doesn't happen anyway. But we're talking about, for those of us who call on the name of the Lord, that God has already begun this good work in you. He says he's going to carry it on. So we've got to cooperate with the work that God is doing in us. He has called each one of us to be in a process of continually changing until we are in the likeness of Jesus. Anybody here reach that point? No, we're not there. None of us are there. And we don't, as I so appreciated Joel's words, it's not that we're trying to earn anything from God. God has already made us right with him through his son. But that does not mean that there's not effort in the Christian journey, that we don't press into becoming, in cooperation with the work the Spirit is doing us, in becoming all that he's called us to do. We started by talking about the importance of, if I'm going to live differently, I've got to start thinking differently. This is where the real change begins. It's in our minds. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds. And it's in that space we begin to discern and understand God's good, perfect, and blessed, and wonderful will. And part of that change needs to be, how am I seeing who God is? A distorted view of God is going to mean a distorted view of myself, and I've got to see who I am. It's going to distort how I see you. And so we've got to start to see with spiritual eyes, eyes that are open, what God is doing in our lives and the lives of people around us. And as we continue to think about this new you that I want to be a part of growing, today, we're going to be looking at what it means to listen and to speak. We're going to be launching from James chapter 1. As I began doing the work on this message this week and as preparing it, it struck me that there's too much to say in a single message about listening and speaking. So we're going to launch with James 1:19, and we're going to pick it up again next week. We're going to focus this morning on the importance of listening, and next week on speaking. So there will be a part one, part two to this message. If you are able, could you please stand for the reading of God's word? We're going to be reading James chapter 1, beginning at verse 19, and we'll read through verse 25. James 1, beginning at verse 19. My dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry, because human anger does not produce the righteousness that God desires. Therefore, get rid of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent, and humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you. Do not merely listen to the word, and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks at his face in a mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues in it, not forgetting what they have heard, but doing it, they will be blessed in what they do. The word of the Lord. Father, thank you so much for your precious word, which speaks. It is God-breathed, Spirit-empowered, and you speak to us by your word. And I pray this morning that as your servant speaks, that the words spoken would be words of life, that it would encourage us to act, to be doers of the word. I pray, God, that we would be on a path of change that would never, never be hindered, that God, we would cooperate with the work that you're doing within us. We pray this in the precious, matchless name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. Please be seating. I remember when I first came to the United States from Jamaica back in 1981, I spent that first summer with my brother up in Delaware. He was working with DuPont, and he was living in an apartment complex, and I was sharing a little room with him as I was working at, some of you remember, a department store called Jefferson Ward. Doesn't exist any longer, but anyway, I was working there and living with him for that summer. And what hit me the very first night that I was there is this loud train whistle going by right by the apartment. It was just noise. And I was like, how in the world will I make it through this summer? Well, some of you live nearby this train track right here in Marysville, and it's pretty amazing how after a while it's like you don't even hear it, right? It's just like you get desensitized to it. You know, there's a difference between hearing and listening, right? Hearing it's almost accidental. It's an automatic brain function. It doesn't require any effort. It's sound, and we can desensitize ourselves to it or hear it. And, you know, there are sounds out there right now, you know, that you're not hearing. There are people walking, but, you know, it's not something that you actively do. That's hearing. You know, you can hear a plane going overhead. You can hear a dog barking, or you can hear the furnace blowing. But you don't really listen to those generally. Amen. Now, this is a brother who is listening. Thank you, Adam. Now, again, there are times where we just filter out those sounds, and, you know, but we hear other sounds that we want to hear, right? I mean, if you're here now, let me just ask, if you've got your cell phones on, please turn them off. Because, you know, if you hear that cell phone, you'll hear it, right? Because that's something we're tuned into. And so we're very selective when it comes to these things. But here we see in James writing to this young church, and he says, "My dear brothers and sisters, take note of this." Pause. Listen. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to become angry. It's been said, we have two ears, one mouth, so we should at least listen twice as much as we speak. This is coming from a communicator who's preaching and speaking right now. I got to watch myself with that. So listen twice as much as we speak. So when we say listen, what are we really talking about here? Because there are different types of listening, of course. But listening is this, it's a learned process. Even as I speak on this today, I'm going to be speaking for roughly 30 minutes or so. You're not going to leave here as experts on listening. It's a learned process of receiving a message, interpreting it. Okay, what is Pastor Brian really talking about right now? Recalling it, hopefully. Okay, I just heard this. It makes sense. Evaluating, is what he's saying make sense at all? By the way, if you are new to this church, you need to know this is the kind of place where we urge you not just to listen to what the pastor says and go with it, but to evaluate it regarding whether or not it lines up with God's word. I think that's biblical. In Acts chapter 17, we read of this group of Christians in a little town called Berea, and they're commended as being of more noble character than the Thessalonians because they would take even what the apostle Paul himself was saying and saying, does it line up with scripture? So you got to evaluate and then respond to verbal and nonverbal messages. You respond. Amen? Thank you for responding. You know, I'm telling you, as a preacher, it helps to hear amen because I know, okay, you're engaged, you're listening, you're responding. But this is a little, you know, even what we do here on a Sunday morning when I'm preaching God's word, it's not really a dialogue as such, but Yeah, an amen does help to know you're listening. All right. So essentially, when we're listening, we're trying to take in what we're hearing and to respond in some kind of way. My experience is that for most of us, particularly men, we don't really do such a good job of listening. We don't. We really don't do a really good job of listening. And if you're listening to, again, pastor preaching on Sunday morning, it's a little different than if you're listening to a lecture on differential equations. Somebody's saying, what the heck are differential equations? Or if you are engaged with your young grandchild, or if you're engaged with your spouse, there are different types of listening that takes place. But I want to put it to us this morning that if we are to really love well, we got to listen well. I want to put it to us this morning that listening is essential to loving. And loving is the essence of the gospel. So this says to me, if you agree with what I'm saying, this says to me and ought to say to you that this thing called listening is something we need to be growing in so that I can learn to love better. If I need to love better, this is the essence of the gospel. Jesus summarized it in love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And the second command, he says, it's just like it. You love your neighbors yourself. You got to learn to love by learning to listen. So we just came out of a very tough season in this culture and around the world as we think about stepping out of the COVID pandemic. You know, a few weeks ago, after being co-virgins for the longest while, my wife and I got COVID. And I was thinking back to that period. You know, we were meeting out in the parking lot here. Some of you started coming to this church during that period of time. And you know, I speak out in the cold with a heater blowing on me. But you guys are in your cars and growing and you know, and coupled with all the politicking of 2020, we're about to enter into another political season, and we're saying, you know, Lord, we want to be the people of God, that our eyes are on Jesus, not on these politicians. Amen. Thank you for saying amen. But then there was also, you know, the killing of George Floyd. And as most of us responded, you know, we saw that this is painful. And if you were in part of this church at that time, you know, we had a forum that we called Undivided. And we had the privilege of including, you know, Chief Golden at the time. He's retired since then, but he was part of this forum. And I'm looking at, I see several of the people who were involved on that stage. And we're talking about the importance, as Christians above all else, to be the kinds of people that we take a stance against racism. We as a people of God recognize that each person is created in the image of God. And so among Christians, there ought never be any kind of racism. And we dealt with that head on. And it was so, in one sense, during that period of time, you know, I had several of my friends, my white pastor friends in this community meeting with me. How do we deal with this? And I'll be honest with you, it was exhausting. It was exhausting. But there were also those people, again, who call themselves Christians, who even challenged us for having such a forum. And I was like, I remember one conversation in particular. With a man who I love dearly. I do love him, but I didn't understand where he was coming from. He wanted to ask us, why are we doing this forum? I mean, it happened. Yes, we acknowledge it. Now we need to move on. And it's like, it's not that easy. And we sat and we talked, and I can still see myself sitting outside the coffee hall and creamery for 3 hours having this conversation. And all I'm getting is political talking points. I'm saying, you say you love me, but you don't want to hear my story. You don't want to listen to me. And what I was saying to him is that if you're going to love me, you have to listen. Amen. Thank you, Adam. It's essential. So let's get into the text a little bit here. Let's get into the text a little bit. It's essential that we understand where he's coming from. You know, so we're in a world that where, and again, the type of listening I'm speaking of in particular is when I'm listening for the sake of engaging in a relationship. There are other areas of listening. There's a lot of information out there. You can learn all about that. And if you're in school, those of you who are students, yeah, there are ways to learn about it. That's not what I'm talking about today. I'm talking about listening and learning to relate relationally, empathetically. How do we understand where the other person's coming from so that I can truly love them? You know, guys, I might step on your toes a little bit because we ain't so good at this. I'm on the journey with you, okay? Wifey goes to the grocery store. She comes back, clearly distraught. Parking lot was full, she says. Someone pulled into the one spot that she was going into. She was waiting on that spot. And she is in the place where, you know, the one item she really wanted, they were out. Gets to the cash register. The milk is leaking. Gotta go back. Comes back again. She says, that woman at the cash register, she was so rude. Guys, listening. Honey, have you considered going to a different grocery store? All the women are laughing. All the guys are going, what's wrong with that? She's not looking for you to tell her about a grocery store. It's learning to empathize. Where are you? What are you really saying? I am frustrated. Hey, babe. Not necessarily even looking for a response at all. Just listen. If you're going to learn to love, you got to learn to listen. And loving is the essence of the gospel. So how do we learn to listen? My dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to become angry, because human anger does not produce the righteousness that God desires. So if I'm going to really learn how to listen, because I am convinced, yeah, I want to learn how to love, because this is what God has called us to, I think it starts with eliminating the noise. There's noise around me. You know, I find it so interesting. We'll see in this that he goes pretty quickly from listening to one another to listening to God. And I think the principles apply to us. As we listen to God, we got to listen to one another. So the noise that hinders us from hearing from God is the noise of, he says, anger. It doesn't produce righteousness. I think Mike was saying this not too long ago, but if you are listening to any source, whether it's the talking heads of your favorite, MSNBC, CNN, Fox, and you come away from that feeling, man, it's just really produced the fruit of the Spirit in me. I feel such love and joy for people. Or if it has you going, those people, and you just come away angry, that's some of the noise you got to get rid of. Yeah. That's some of the noise you got to get out of your life. Let me just tell you this, if you're not already aware of this. Those guys, they have done deep study on this. And they know if they can hit your basic instincts, there's something about anger in particular. And this doesn't make sense in a rational sense, but that emotion, they know if they can stir that up in you, you're going to come back. You're going to want more. And God is saying, it's not producing the righteous life that I want you. So eliminate that noise. Get rid of it. Now, when I think of noise, again, there's environmental noise. And if we're in here and I'm speaking to you and then all of you start speaking at the same time, you're going to have trouble focusing, right? So I got to get rid of that environmental noise. There's physiological noise. If I'm sick, you know, I'm not blaming. You know, I told you that over the Christmas break, I said some things and behaved in some ways that I was really and truly ashamed of. But I can't just blame my sickness. But I have to take into account that I was feeling pretty crappy. My mood was down. You know, I just didn't feel good. And so out of that space, that physiological noise was, I got to be aware of that. And then there's, again, what he's talking about right here, which is the psychological noise, which is the noise of my emotion, my anger, my tendency to want to prejudge you based on whatever externals, whether you're a man or a woman or young or old or black or white or whatever it is. I'm not preparing myself to truly listen. I think one of the primary ways that we can practice even how I will speak with you and you speak to me and how I will listen to you and you listen to me is by learning to eliminate that noise as I listen to God. In every aspect. One, I've got to put off this old stuff. I can continue to put it off because it does hinder me hearing God. Did you know that? It does. This is what he's telling us right here. It's going to hinder me hearing God. And on the flip side of that, too, you know, the psalmist says, if I have cherished sin in my heart, you would not have heard me. So if I want to be growing in this place of love, and I got to start to listen to God, I got to put off those old things. I got to put them off. And you know, one of the things that since I began my sabbatical early part of last year and was working through that and have continued this practice is trying to regularly just quiet myself before the Lord for an extended period of time with no agenda but to hear the Lord say, be still and know that I'm God. To quiet ourselves. And I think that I'm not there yet. I'm gonna tell you, I still get distracted. My brain wants to go to, you know, what's the next meal? Where do I need to plan for the upcoming leadership meeting and Sundays? My brain wants to do all that. I have to keep going. Just me and you, God, Lord Jesus, blessed Savior. Keep focusing on Him. I need to slow down. And I think the more I practice that, the better I become it. When I sit with you and you're speaking to me, I can say, just be with Jim. Listen to what he's saying. Don't come with your agenda. Because, you know, all of us have this way. When somebody's speaking, I'm saying, I got my answer ready for you already. And we don't listen, right? We don't listen. I know the right answer, so let me give it to you. And sometimes I'm just listening to your words. And I need to learn to listen in the spirit. What's going on in this person's life? What are they really saying? Like wifey who's going to the grocery store. She's not saying I need to find another grocery store. Get rid of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent and humbly accept the word planted in you which can save you. So we don't prejudge. We don't interrupt people. We don't listen aggressively. I'm just ready to give you all the right answers. There's this pseudo listening to and we're not really listening. Our mind is somewhere else to learn how to do this. You know, I know this because again I have studied this for a long time, but. You know, they say that only about 7% of communication are the words. The vast majority of our communication are what we call the nonverbals. It's, how loudly am I speaking? Or how quietly? How quickly am I speaking? It's my facial expressions. So if I'm speaking with you, or you're speaking to me, and I'm trying to listen to you, and I'm doing this here. I'm typing away on my phone. Yeah, yeah, mm-hmm, uh-huh. I'm not listening to it. It's communicating. So let me urge you. I'm learning this now too. When you sit with somebody at the coffee hall, creamery, or wherever it is, put away your phone. Hide it. Maybe leave it in the car. Unless, and if you are anticipating a call coming, an urgent call, say up front, hey, by the way, I'm expecting a call, so if I get that, is that okay? You know, but put it away. Yeah, how many times have you been out? I'm not going to call you out, but you've seen other people on dates, and they're both doing this here. Here's one honest person. It's nonstop, right, Adam?
Yes.
So he says now. No, let's look at the shift here. So we want to be in the place again that we are putting away all the noise, all those things that are distracting from the conversation. Do not merely listen to the word. Here's the shift now. He's talking about now the word, and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Do what it says. So he's saying to you, child of God, if you're here today, you got to apply this word today. So what you're hearing this morning and every Sunday morning, and when you read God's word, and when you got to act on it. So we need to listen with intention. I'm not just listening, just going, I'm going to do something about this. I'm going to act on what I'm hearing. So the challenge that I'm bringing to each of us this the start of this year, that we ought to be building a new you. It's not for 2024 only, or just the start of the year. This is an ongoing for the rest of our lives, because every time we open God's word, we need to open it with a receptivity to what the Spirit of God is saying to us. We ought to regularly pray, Lord, speak. And give me a will to obey immediately and exactly what you're saying. Just do what you say to do. So we listen with intention. Remember that listening is essential to loving. And Jesus puts it this way: whoever has my commands and keeps them, who does what I say to do, is the one who loves me. So you say you love the Lord Jesus. You can't say you love the Lord Jesus, but I'm not going to do what you say to do. So if he's speaking to you and he tells you this is what you're to do, you got to do it. You got to learn to slow down. I think part of the reason sometimes we don't want to listen to God, we don't want to take the time to say, God, what did you say here? And I'm going to do it, is because we don't really want to do it. We're quite comfy where we are. And we may have read something, ooh, that's kind of pressing me. That's getting me uncomfortable. I don't know about you, you know, but this has been a season of great discomfort for me. But it's good. I'm uncomfortable because even as I preach this, I know I'm preaching to myself. I'm not standing here like I've arrived with all this. I'm saying, God, you're speaking to me. There's more that you have for me. I've been walking with you a long time, but I'm scratching the surface. There's so much more that you want to do in me. But we have to have an attitude of continually saying, I am listening to you with the intention I am going to do what you say to do. This is why, again, it's, I think, important for us to be in that space where we hear God saying, be still and know that I am God. Okay, God, you know, I want to learn how to pray. You know, I have a pretty disciplined prayer life myself. I pray for you guys by name. If you're part of this church, I pray for you once or twice, or sometimes three times a week by name. I go through the church roster. By the way, next month we're starting new pictures. So if you're not in there, put it in there, because it's helpful to see people and say, I'm praying for you. For some of you, there's this little icon that, you know. So I pray for our government. I pray for, you know, missionaries. I pray for the persecuted church. What I want to learn how to do is to listen, not just to talk, not just to bring my needs to God. And God says, bring them. Bring them. He wants you to. But to learn to listen is harder, because when God speaks, we can't just listen and do nothing. He says, you gotta act on it. You gotta do what I tell you to do. So we slow down to be present with God. This practice, I believe, empowers us then to slow down to be present with people. I want to give you eye contact. I want to listen with an ear to understand. When I engage with you, I want to leave not just giving you all the right answers, but listening with the Spirit's ear to say, what is it that I need to do to bless this person? Maybe it's just being with you, not giving you all the answers. Maybe it's really hearing past your words to say, how can I love you better? How can I engage with it? How can I stop? How can I remove this noise that has been had me prejudging you? How can I leave this saying, I want to build into you? I want to be other-centered. Because this is the gospel. If I don't learn to listen, I really can't love very well. He says, anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks at his face in a mirror. I just love how James just mixes his metaphors, listening and then all of a sudden looking. But anyway, he says, if you listen to the word but don't do what it says, it's like someone who looks at his face in a mirror after looking at himself, goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. What's the purpose of a mirror? Well, you see yourself so that you act on it, right? You don't want to look in a mirror and say, my goodness, I got some crust in my eyes. Well, let me keep going. Right? You smile and there's that spinach. I'm not going to do anything. No, you look in the mirror to say, I got to make some change. I got to do something. I got to wash my face. I got to clean my teeth. I got to do something with the image that's coming back at me. And he's saying, likewise, when you listen to this word, you can't just, oh, that's a nice word. I've been in Christian academia, so I know that there are theologians who don't know Jesus. Did you know that? There are people who can tell you all kinds of stuff about the Bible, but they don't know Jesus. Literally. They'll tell you that they don't. But they can break down all the Hebrew and the Greek of the New Testament. They can tell you all kinds of things about, you know, systematic theology and all these kinds of things, but they're not listening with an intent to act on it, to do what it says. But whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom. People think that this law is going to bind me. If I start living according to it, oh, I'm going to be too restricted. No, it's freedom. What it's doing is it's unshackling those chains that have been holding you back that you may not have even been aware of. It's a law that gives freedom. It's teaching us how to live the life that God intended for us to live. Did you know Jesus said, I've come that you might have life and might have it abundantly? It's a law that gives freedom. So if you look into this perfect law that gives freedom and then you continue in it, yeah, I'm going to do what it says, Lord. Not forgetting what they've heard. Not looking at yourself and going, it's okay that I have this spinach between them. Let me keep going. No, not forgetting it, but acting on it, but doing it. It says they will be blessed in what they do. They will be blessed. Who wants to be blessed? Some of you. Some of you don't want to be. You know, the scripture tells us that we have every right to desire God's blessing. I want God's blessing in my life. I absolutely want his blessing. That is a right motivation for us to have. I want to be blessed by, I want your blessing, God. Pour it out. Pour out your blessing, Lord Jesus. Pour it out. Come, Lord. Come in this space right now. As somebody who's, I don't know, maybe they're hearing a word that says, I'm not worthy of blessing. God's saying, no, that's not true. Listen to what the Spirit is saying. I gave my son for you. If I gave you my very best, what would I hold back? He who did not spare his own son but gave him for us all, how would he not, along with him, the very best this universe could give you, graciously give you all things? We should desire God's blessing in our lives. So, why is it that the gyms are about to thin out. I was talking with my son this past week, and I was asking him, so, you know, what are the things that you're hoping for this coming year? And he's saying, well, I'm getting into the gym. And, you know, he was asked, you know, I've had a pattern of exercise my entire life, so I know enough to be dangerous. And so he's asking, what should I do? I said, well, you know, what are you trying to accomplish? And, you know, 3 days a week, doing upper body, lower body together, blah, 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 how much time you spend in the gym. I said, so why are you doing this, Matthew? He says, when I want to lose weight. And I said, why do you want to lose weight? And we started pressing it. And the reason the gyms are thinning out is because the goal is go to the gym. Exercise. Eat right. It's not enough. Why are you doing all of that? I've heard people talk about, oh, I want to, you know, their goal in life is to be a millionaire. And then what? So you have a million. So what? What does that even mean? We have to keep pressing to, why am I doing what I am doing? I don't have to set New Year's resolutions about being in the gym. You know that? It's been my pattern my whole life. I've seen the benefits. I know that when I take care of my body, when I eat right, I feel better. It affects my mood, which then affects how I treat people, which then affects how I see God. And physical training is of some value, but it's godliness that has value for this life and the life to come. So if your goal in all of these things is just, you know, what's on paper, you're going to miss it. But God says, here's your goal. You will be blessed. You will be blessed if you do these things. That is the highest motivation you ought to have. Well, I don't know what that really means, God, because I've never done this. Well, it's time you start trusting me. Do you want God's blessing? He says, do these things. Learn what it means to listen, that you may love. Anticipate the best in your relationship with God, and with your spouse and your children and with your neighbor and your boss. Anticipate the best. Anticipate there's going to be a blessing. No. I know with human relationships this gets a little tricky. With God it's different because God has already loved us perfectly. His lavish love is poured out on us. And if we're missing that, it's not God. It's us. God says, it's there. Come, receive it. With people, it's a little trickier because you can do everything you can to be right with somebody else and they may not respond. I understand that. But I still say, if we do our part, one, the likelihood of person responding increases. If I dig my heels in and I'm just going to behave badly, they're going to respond in the same. But if I say, I am going to listen to you that I might love you, and I'm going to do everything I can to love you, the likelihood of response is better. But even if they don't, you'll see the smile of Jesus on you. And you'll know that you've done what you're to do. And that is a blessing. Father, thank you. Thank you so much that you have said that we can anticipate your blessing, your very best. You told us, Jesus, not only that do we show our love to you by keeping your commands, you said right after that, the one who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love them and show myself to them. We want to love you by living for you. And by hearing this word and doing what it says, to learn to listen, that we would be blessed. You, your servant James writes in the next chapter that if we really keep the royal law found in Scripture, love your neighbors yourself, that we're doing right. And this is our heart, God. We confess we have failed you many times. I thank you that you are a redeemer, that you're not done with us, and that no matter what we may have done, Lord, you are setting a new trajectory today because it's called today. That we don't have to live in the past. I pray, God, this word would penetrate each one of our hearts. And for here on, for the rest of our lives, we would learn the art of listening. First to you, and in that practice, then how to learn to listen to others, that we may love them. It all begins and ends with listening to you, God. But we show our love for you by loving others. Teach us, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.